Welcome to The Crucible, everyone. And today we've got the privilege to talk to Freda Gordon from Acuity Commodities. She is actually the director of Acuity Commodities. She looks at the short-term and medium sulfuric acid markets. Freda, welcome. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Samia.
Freda, maybe just as a way of an introduction, can you give us an idea how you ended up at Acuity Commodities? Can you tell us why sulfuric acid? And do you have any interest in the South African economy?
Yeah, I think it's all by chance, because when I moved from Hong Kong to the UK in 2008, I just randomly joined a publishing company. And the first day I joined, they said, okay, you're going to write about sulfur and sulfuric acid. I had absolutely no idea what these two commodities were. And I learned everything from scratch. And it was about 7 years ago when I decided, okay, I think I know enough. I'm going to start my own company with my business partner. She's in Houston. I'm in London. I love the dynamics. I love sulfur and sulfuric acid. I never get bored of it, because this is a commodity, acid as well, that just touches everything. It's the king of chemicals. So when I analyze a market, I look at the economy, I look at the weather, I look at, you know, politics and everything. So it makes it very, very dynamic. And South Africa to me is very interesting, not only because of your beauty and your wine, I must say,
but also because
it's such a crucial market for sulfur and sulfuric acid as well. There are so many dynamics, and I'm sure we're going to talk more about it, and I can tell you why I love it.
Absolutely, because I didn't know that at all about sulfur or sulfuric acid in South Africa. We previously actually had a discussion with Steve Sackett from South African Perspectives on the impact of South Africa's logistics on copper production. And the conversation was a little bit alarming. The numbers were frightening. So I think before I take that discussion further, I actually would like to know, how closely is copper production and sulfuric acid production linked?
Yeah, sulfuric acid actually has two different relationships with copper. If I were to dumb it down, copper producers can be a producer or a consumer of sulfuric acid, or depending on the type of ores that they're dealing with. So, for example, in Zambia, a lot of the deposits are sulfides. So the operations usually would build a smelter that produces sulfuric acid as a byproduct. And if the deposits are oxides, like in the DRC, then operations tend to consume the acid to leach the oxide ores. And for these operations, they normally like to build their own sulfuric acid production plants by burning the sulfur to make the acid that is for copper production. So that is the relationship between the two.
That's actually a very close link. So talking about copper in Zambia, talking about copper in DRC, what is the importance of sulfuric acid production for South Africa then?
It is very, very important, actually, because if you think about South Africa, the country itself produces around 2.5 million tons a year of sulfuric acid. Now, when I say sulfuric acid, it includes acid made from sulfur, so we call it sulfur-based acid. It includes the byproduct smelter acid and some other types of acid. So that is 2.5 million tons a year. South Africa is probably the more industrialized country within the Southern Africa region. So the acid in South Africa is actually being used for many, many different sectors, but I would just categorize them as chemicals as well as fertilizer industries.
2.5 million. So the link between, be it sulfur, sulfuric acid, as you said, smelter, sulfuric acid, that link between sulfuric acid and copper actually has a great impact on South Africa. Am I summarizing that correctly?
It is. You are absolutely right. I'll just give you one more number to make it even more clear. So South Africa produces 2.5 million tons of sulfuric acid, and Southern Africa as a region produce around 11 million tons of acid in 2023. That's the expectation. So you can see the proportion, the percentage there.
Yes.
It's a huge player.
Yes, huge player. So between, if we talk sulfur and we talk sulfuric acid, Why, when sulfur prices dip, do we see an increase in sulfuric acid production?
Yeah, this is a really, really good point. Now, in the world, I would say, let's say last year in 2022, around 306 million tons of sulfur were produced globally, all around the world. And out of that, I would call around 65% were sulfur-based acid. So this would be the acid produced by burning the sulfur, literally. So when the price of sulfur dips, obviously the production cost of sulfur-based acid, the 65% of 306 million tons I mentioned, would be affected. And of course, a lot of the acid goes into the production of copper and cobalt production as well, right? So sometimes, depending on whether the economics works for copper and cobalt, if they need to consume more sulfuric acid, and if sulfur prices dip, then it makes sense to produce more sulfuric acid. I think that is the reason you see the link of prices between sulfur and acid. But Samia, I must say though, we got to remember there are different types of acid. Another type is smelter acid, I mentioned earlier, which is a byproduct of copper smelter, etc. This is an involuntary product. So whatever changes in the demand side, the production of smelter acid will not be affected. So the link you mentioned there between sulfur and sulfuric acid, we're really talking about sulfur and sulfur-based acid. Smelter acid production is completely involuntary. You don't change it by changing the demand
That's
of
a
it.
very, very good point to make. So the link between sulfur and sulfuric acid markets is when you talk about a sulfur-based sulfuric acid, when you physically
Yes,
burn the
indeed.
sulfur. That makes it a lot clearer for me. Can I then ask, we've mentioned 2.5 million tons. We've mentioned percentages up to 60%. South Africa itself, are we net importers or net exporters of sulfur itself? And was that always the case?
Okay, that's also a very, very good point to make. South Africa has always been a net importer. Now, I'm going to throw more numbers at you and hopefully that will make it clearer. We estimate South Africa to consume about 400 to 450,000 tons per year of sulfur. Itself produce about 200,000 tons per year of sulfur. So there is a net there. And that's why South Africa is essentially a net importer of sulfur. I guess the next question you will have is, where does this sulfur go? A lot of the sulfur, of course, would be used locally in South Africa, but many also get sent to the DRC. And you would realize, right, this is to feed the copper and cobalt industry over there. So, yeah, South Africa imported around 450,000 tons in 2022, 450,000 tons of sulfur in 2022. The majority of this import were to be exported to the DRC. Only a very small amount would be goods in transit for other places.
So, listening to what you're saying, there's actually a very delicate balance and a very strong link between copper and sulfur-based sulfuric acid. And what I'm wondering is, from Steve's conversation, he's talking about copper trucks coming in to South Africa, and those trucks then need to take sulfuric acid back into the rest of Africa. So, in economic terms, what would the impact be on that delicate balance? What would the impact be on that market link if you've got poor logistics?
Copper trucks, they come down from the copper belt with copper for export. And then in South Africa, they collect the sulfur that is taken back to the DRC to produce acid, as you said. So with that dynamic in place, any kind of poor logistics will, of course, slow down the supply of both copper and other reagents, as well as acid, to and from the DRC. And I think for a region that is so reliant on the mining industry. Really, any kind of impact on mining operations is not preferred. So, from my point of view, if we have slow supplies, if we have poor logistics, that will slow supply of sulfur. And this will create panic. And actually, we saw that in 2022, last year. We saw people who were ordering sulfur, but they were delayed into the DRC because of poor logistics. These people then ordered more sulfur because they thought, right, I'm not getting it. I want more. But simply, the commodity cannot be delivered on time to the Copper Belt because of the logistical issues. Then we've come to a point where we saw more and more orders. And so there were more and more trucks being employed. And the queues at the border posts get even longer.
Such
So this essentially,
counterproductive.
absolutely. So this creates a kind of false sense of increased demand, whereas people are only looking for the same quantity. And this, of course, would also affect transport rates that affect all other commodities as well. So in the worst case scenario, I guess we can argue that poor logistics can really import copper production, which is what we definitely do not want.
Yes, definitely do not want that. So maybe a very ignorant question, but what is the impact of false demands on a commodity's price?
I think it could change pricing of a certain commodity. You know, the situation that I described earlier in 2022, that was exactly it. You have false demand, you create upward pressure on pricing, which does not really reflect the true balance of the market if you only think about supply and demand. And that creates volatility. And I guess you can argue some market players prefer having volatility in the market, but I think for any commodities, if you talk to a producer or a buyer, they probably prefer more stable pricing instead. That's my take on that.
For me, that makes sense. Yes.
Yeah.
Especially like you said, if a country is reliant on the mining and metals industry, you would like that consistency. Maybe a difficult question, Freda, but from your point of view, from a UK point of view, your business partners in Houston, you've got eyes on the sulfuric acid market. What would you say are South Africa's current logistical challenges?
I think based on my observation, so I've been focusing on the Southern African slash South African markets for the last 4 or 5 years. From what I've seen, I think now we see an issue when it, let's put it this way. When it comes to sulfur imports into South Africa, it's always via the port, Richards Bay. I have seen very slow port discharge rates at Richards Bay. I think this is probably because there was a dysfunctional port conveyor belt at Richards Bay.
Yes.
This is due to a fire that happened in October. I think that was 2021. So we're still feeling the impact now. And in fact, a few days ago, I was reviewing the sulfur import volume via Richards Bay. And so far this year, so the first 6 months of the year, the total was massively down on the prior year period. So I think this slow port discharge is discouraging people from using Richards Bay to import sulfur. In fact, we're seeing more movement going to Dar es Salaam, for example. So I think that is one issue that South Africa face. Unfortunately, for all the regions, no matter where you're going to import the sulfur in Southern Africa, you're still going to face border delays. So that I think everyone feels it.
And we talked about that at length in the session that we have with Steve as well. And for me, both of you playing in the sulfuric acid industry, it's interesting to hear that you are echoing exactly what Steve said in terms of issues at Richards Bay, the conveyor, choosing Dar es Salaam. He mentioned Walvis Bay, talking about borders. So even if you do use road logistics and trucks, you still have issues with borders. And then on top of that, what you mentioned that might compound this crisis is then creating that sense of false demand where you just order more and unknowingly unintended consequence, more pressure on road logistics and borders. So, Freda, I have to say what impresses me about you is that you've got the ability to summarize everything that we've just said on one slide. And I had the privilege of seeing that slide earlier this year in Cape Town in South Africa, and you call it the Southern African Sulfur Supply Chain Stress Index. Can you just tell us a little bit more about that and what it's supposed to tell us?
Yeah. And firstly, I would like to invite you, Zelmir, if you can come up with a more creative name for this index, please let me know, because I realize it's very long and very straightforward. I would love to have a more creative spin on it. But so this index, we created this back in August of 2022. So we have almost been running it for a year now. It's really designed to reflect how efficiently the sulfur supply chain is in terms of meeting demand in Southern Africa. So we assess it every month and we take a look at five different components. I'm going to break them down for you. First thing we look at is port delays. Very simple. We measure the average number of waiting days from when a vessel arrived at a port to when it is being allowed to berth at a port. So that's the port delays. Number two is port warehouse inventory levels. So we will have a look at the stock levels of sulfur at Beira, Dar es Salaam, Richards Bay, and Walvis Bay. So the higher the stock level is, the higher this number, this component will be. Number three is road transport costs. This really measures the cost to take sulfur northbound to the DRC from Richards Bay. So if there are border delays, for example, then this part of the index will increase. And number four is very straightforward, road round trip time. So if there are any delays at borders, that will be extended, and then this will become a bigger number as well. And finally, it's a little bit more abstract, it's the external factors. So I also take a look at labor strikes, for example, fertilizer seasonality, how they make the supply chain more stressed or under less stressed. So by looking at these five factors every month, I will come up with an index. So it's quite beautiful. In the form of one percentage, this index actually tells a great story about how stressed the logistics are in the region.
I just wanted to ask that, but before I get to that question, I actually wanted to know, if you look at waiting before berthing, if you look at stock levels at the port, if you look at turnaround times on the roads, are those factors all equally weighted, or do you give more weight to certain factors, like, for example, waiting, you know, to berth, because that's dead time?
Yeah, that's an excellent point. I would say the first four factors that I mentioned, the port delays, warehouse stock levels, road transport costs, and road round trip time, they have equal weight in the index. The external factors would be a little bit less, because that is harder and more subjective, really.
More qualitative.
Less subjective. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So all the other four parts are equally important.
I must say, that is beautiful. To someone that loves numbers and mathematics, I really love the way that you've put together this index. I want to ask, I don't know if I should, closing my eyes tightly as I ask this, what is our stress index for South Africa or Southern Africa, and how does it compare globally?
I would love to know what your guess is.
At the moment,
if we go with 0 to 100%,
I would definitely guess somewhere above 70%.
You are very, very close. Now, I don't actually look at the index on a global level, but the Southern Africa's index just for June was 60%. So you're very, very close. But, you know, with that also comes with a background story. When I saw you in Cape Town, that was February, I think, or March.
Yes.
I think the index was still hovering between 85 or 80 to 90%. At that point, we were still feeling a lot of stress. But recently, We've seen, especially with the southbound and northbound truck traffic being a little bit more imbalanced. So the transport rates actually came off a little bit. This is all very time sensitive. It's happening now. That's why the index has come off a little bit. And I also mentioned to you earlier when we discussed the troubles at Richards Bay as an import port,
Yes.
because the discharge rates are so slow, so people are avoiding using it, that actually reduced demurrage, which in a way helped reduce the index as well.
Is it really positive? The reason why I'm asking is I'm assuming using Richards Bay as your port of reference would have a positive impact on South African economy. But would reducing the stress index because people are not using Richards Bay be a good thing?
I think I have to backtrack a bit. The index, let's say when we're talking about port delays and also port warehouse inventory levels, we don't only look at Richards Bay. We
Oh,
look at
yes,
Beira,
you
Dar es
said
Salaam, and
Dar es
Walvis Bay
Salaam.
as well. So, I mean, this index reflects part of Richards Bay, but is more designed to reflect the whole of Southern Africa. So, yeah, I wouldn't say Richards Bay play a bigger role out of the four ports here. Maybe a little bit because Richards Bay is more being utilized, but we do look at all four different import points.
Oh, okay, that's a relief. That is a relief. I think in the conversation with Steve, he put a lot of focus on how ports across the world are being utilized and the market cut that South Africa is losing when Richards Bay is not the port of choice. I'm trying to relate the Southern African stress index to the South African economy. I'm trying to find a relation there. Can you help me with that at all? Or is there no relation to be made?
I think there is a relationship. The way I see it is just because the fact is, in the past, out of the four ports that we mentioned, majority of the sulfur was going through Richards Bay. So if we look at it like that, the index should really reflect a lot on South Africa, the port performance. The fact that there have been issues at Richards Bay have pushed the sulfur towards other ports. And I think I would actually say this. In my report, every month I also look at the individual import volume out of these four ports. So I get a more granular detail of the index. And I can see definitely, say, in the first 6 months of the year, there had been more sulfur going to Dar es Salaam and a very significant drop of sulfur going through Richards Bay. So I can see that. So I think if you were to really look at South Africa's performance, in the sulfur supply chain, we may have to look more granular rather than just looking at this index. And by looking at the more granular details, then you can really see like how this is affecting South Africa's economy.
If you have to give a very general analysis, very broad terms, as you said, Freda, please dumb it down for the metallurgist on the other side of the line. If you had to give a very broad and general idea, are we going on a positive trend here for South Africa, playing our part in the supply chain? Or would you say we are hovering between positive and maybe going negative?
I think we are hovering towards the negative side. I think we really need to see Richards Bay back up and running at its former glory and being able to take more of the sulfur. Ultimately, this is a port that is more sophisticated than any of the other import ports, as far as I'm concerned. And by tweaking or by, improving the current issues, I think it would make sense for people to come back to use this port. So, from a sulfur perspective, I think if we continue to see the current issues unresolved at Richards Bay, I'm afraid there will certainly be more people interested in investing more storage, perhaps, in other ports. and find new opportunities
So
elsewhere.
definitely one of our competitive edges in this game, in the supply chain, in this market of sulfur and sulfuric acid, one of our competitive advantages is actually our Richards Bay port.
Yeah, and also I think this is a very industrialized, well-developed country as well, in Southern Africa. So if we're thinking about labor as well, you guys have the experience and that should never be ignored.
I almost want to say thank you. Thank you. That is a very, very kind summary of South Africa. Freda, thank you very much for sharing your insights with us. Thank you very much for introducing the Southern African Sulfur Supply Chain Stress Index to us, which I think is a great summary. Freda, if any of our listeners wants to get eyes on your reports, wants to get in touch with you, where do they go? How do they get hold of you and your reports, your insights?
I think the easiest way is to come to our website, which perhaps you can help me to post it as well, is
Yes.
www.acuitycommodities.com. It's very simple, and you'll be able to get in touch with us.
We will definitely put that in the link for the podcast. Freda, just again, thank you very much, and hopefully we'll see you back in South Africa soon, and we can continue our discussions around copper and sulfuric acid.
Absolutely. I look forward to coming back. I cannot wait. Hopefully next year.
Wonderful. Thank you, Freda, and thank you
Thank you
everyone
for
for
having
listening.
me.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.